The legality of the method of drone attacks has come under question in a report issued on Thursday by the London-based Oxford Research Group. Since 2004, over 1,500 people have been killed by United States-launched drones in over 250 attacks in Pakistan alone. Thursday's report argues that those who use the unmanned vehicles are required to record the deaths of any civilians who were killed in the attack. The report's lead author, Dr. Susan Brau, says a global casualty recording mechanism should be implemented so that every civilian casualty in a conflict is identified. She spoke to Charles Collins about the report.
So I was asked, firstly, not just with relation to drone attacks, but generally, whether there was a legal obligation to record civilian casualties. As you're probably aware, it's quite well known that if you're a member of the armed forces and you're killed, they take a portion of your dog tag and you're buried in a military cemetery and your relatives are notified. So I was asked the research question whether the same kinds of obligations applied if you were a civilian. And so I researched this area in both international humanitarian law, and my colleague Rachel Joyce researched international human rights law, and we have identified a binding legal obligation upon parties of armed conflict to record all missing and dead civilians as a result of hostilities, occupation, or detention.
How practical, though, is this? I mean, can people firing drones actually go in there and record such information?
Well, yes, it is practical. Well, there are two aspects of this. The first is, if the drone attack is being conducted by the consent of the country in which the drone attack is being launched, let's say Yemen, for example, which has consented to the presence of drones on their territory, it would probably be Yemeni police officers or military officers who would go and preserve the site, identify whether someone was a combatant or a civilian, the cause of death, the numbers, etc. If it was in a country that didn't consent to the drone attacks, and there's some suggestion that the Pakistanis may not have consented, it's much more difficult. I'm going to acknowledge it's very difficult, because what would you have to do? Have a helicopter accompany the drone attack and go down and identify the dead? It would be difficult. Notwithstanding that, that's something that parties that use drones have to think about.
Did your report touch on other aspects of the use of drone attacks?
We talked about other aspects. The first thing is whether, in fact, drone attacks are being launched as part of an armed conflict. My argument is that there's no such thing as a war on terror. So therefore, the only way a drone could kill even a non-civilian would be as part of an armed conflict. And the answer there is by no means clear. Part of the situation in Pakistan may be part of the non-international armed conflict in Afghanistan by way of what we would call a spillover. So the conflict spills over into the tribal areas or the Northwest Frontier Province. But in other areas such as Yemen, it might be argued that no such armed conflict exists, and therefore what you are doing is basically extrajudicial killings. And I'm not the only person who's argued this. Philip Alston produced a report for the United Nations in which he argued that these are unlawful extrajudicial killings, that in fact if it's a criminal suspect, in other words it's not a war, it's law enforcement, one has to apprehend the suspect, not kill them.
On a practical ground, is there any difference between a drone attack or, for example, if a fighter plane or another military equipment is used on such a target?
The difference, I suppose, is the fact that what you posed to me earlier is how are casualties identified when the people actually conducting the attack are thousands of miles away, probably launching the attack from the United States. So it becomes more difficult to identify the casualties of those attacks because they're sort of one step removed, if you like.
Now, you argue that this is a violation of international law. Now, is there any way victims or the relatives of victims, other concerned parties, have any kind of recourse if their relatives have been killed or their citizens have been killed in such an attack?
Well, realistically, it depends who launches the attack. First of all, the United States is not a party to the International Criminal Court, so that's not a possibility. There might be a possibility of launching an action in United States domestic courts claiming unlawful deaths, but I'm not going to minimize the fact that it's one of the issues we're most concerned about is that it's very difficult for the victims to have any recourse against who might have killed them, because they, once again, they're a step removed. It's not their country. It's another country that has launched these attacks. And then what recourse does the victim have? We do know that occasionally parties to conflicts that kill people by mistake do compensate the families. They do pay financial compensation. And my argument is that in fact, there's a financial obligation here that if you kill civilians, you have to pay for such items as recording their graves, identifying the cause of death, notifying their relatives. It may not be if it was a lawful killing in the sense that it was part of an armed conflict and they were regrettably killed as part of an operation, they may not be entitled to financial compensation for the death, but that doesn't relieve the state from the obligation of recording that death.
What kind of practical policies would you like to see a country such as the United States that does launch drone attacks draft to deal with the issues you brought up?
Well, I think that the first thing, all states who are involved in armed conflict have to acknowledge and acknowledge in writing an agreement, perhaps a declaration, that they have to account for the civilian casualties in that conflict. So they at least have to acknowledge that. That's the first step. Then they would have to get together and discuss what procedures. In other words, they could fund non-governmental organizations or perhaps a governmental organization. An example is the Commonwealth War Graves Commission for dead soldiers is funded by governments of the Commonwealth. And they keep records and graves, etc. Some kind of mechanism like that might have to be established.